Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Right now, let's get to Rodney. Rodney Boyd, how are you, my friend? Happy Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving week. I want to start off by saying thank you for your support and shout out to the restaurants, St. Louis County especially, but in the whole region. It's a critical, as you said it, and I just want to repeat it real quickly, it's a critical time for people in the region to support their favorite restaurant. In fact, even maybe make a new favorite restaurant. Yes. One of the things I've asked people to do is make a new favorite restaurant or two or five during this COVID time. They need it. They depend on us, and they're there for us, and we sort of need to look back and help them too.
Yeah, I went out to a Bartolino's for lunch last week. I'm going to pick another restaurant, maybe go today or tomorrow this week. People need to call for carryout, try to support one of these restaurants and show them some love through all this. It's a good point.
Really love it. You know, we can't travel, so my wife and I have been doing travel through eating. So every week we find a different culinary restaurant that we say, well, we've never been to whatever. So last week we picked a Turkish restaurant over in South City, and we're like, let's eat some Turkish food. Good. And it was really good. So we're trying to support restaurants and expand our horizon and all that good stuff.
How did the kids feel about that?
You know, the kids were fascinated by the fact that Dad had a whole fish.
Oh, I
and
see.
They
yeah,
had
the
yeah. whole fish with the eyes and everything. So it's been fun. I mean, we're just teaching them how in some different cultures, people don't just cook the fish. They cook the whole thing. So it's been fun. Yeah. It's been fun.
Good deal. Good deal, Rodney. You know, we were just talking about Mayor Crewson deciding not to run again. Here was her announcement from last week. Listen.
So this past weekend, you may know this, I had a birthday. You probably saw it on Facebook. Birthdays are good. And of course, they also make you think about the future. What comes next? I am now pushing 70. So after a lot of thinking and a lot of discussion with my family, I have decided to retire in April and not file to run for re-election this coming Monday.
Well, that opens up a can of worms in the city and a lot of people chomping at the bit, huh, Rodney?
It really does, and the timing of that is remarkably interesting because, as she mentioned, filing for the office opens today. So many people are still looking back on November 3rd and not really were aware, at least in St. Louis City, that we immediately move into the next election cycle in the city, that is, and that's the mayoral race. And what makes it very intriguing for me, I've been watching these races for the last probably 10 elections, and this is the most unique mayoral race in maybe 150 years, if not longer, because the voters on November 3rd in St. Louis City created an entirely new, unprecedented in the city process by which we actually choose a mayor. And it starts today, Mark, with how you even get on the ballot and who can get on the ballot. And real quickly, we now don't have a winner-take-all primary process, which has been that way for the last 100-plus years, where you have an election in March, I think it's March 19th or 20th, whoever would win that election would be the de facto mayor because you run into a general election with no Republican opponent. No more. Runoff now. Runoff for top two vote getters. But even more critical, you have to get about 12,500 signatures to even file to get on the ballot. That's very, very new. So, Mark, just bear me out for 1 second. Here we now have a process never done in the city where you can't just file today like you used to be able to do in prior cycles. You got to show up with 12,500 certified signatures. And by the way, good luck. You got to collect them during a pandemic in the city where some stranger's got to come up to you and say, hey, Mark, can you give me about 5 minutes to tell me you're registered, where you live, and sign this form? Or I'm going to ring your doorbell. You don't know me. Open up for me.
Are they just trying to keep Bill Haas off the ballot this time, or what?
You know, I think that because the last election was decided by 800 votes in a crowded field, people wondered, because they look around the country. They have this runoff process in Kansas City. They have this runoff process in a few other cities, and then they have it in a few other states. I think people always seem to long for what is happening in another city when it comes to politics, as if there's some panacea there, some magic potion. I've seen those races. It's as volatile as what we've had here. In some cases, it's even more. But we're here now. Yeah. So today opens, and you're going to see people all over St. Louis City if you're in town trying to collect signatures for the mayoral race.
Well, we got to just call this what it is, right? It's basically trying to move the Democratic primary to the general election, because you know that's the real race anyway, right? So in other words, the top couple of vote getters might end up being in a runoff, and that's exactly what Tashara Jones would have liked last time against Lyda Crewson.
Yeah, that's what she would have liked last time. The question is, is that what she would like this time? You know what I mean? My point is the nostalgic looking at other races and thinking, oh, one, every election cycle, you know this, Mark, you cover them all, is radically different. And the world is more radically different now. You know, one of the questions you've asked a number of times off air, on air, hey, will a Republican ever run? Well, these elections, these runoff elections, are technically nonpartisan. So anyone that gets to 12,005 can go on the ballot. And I was talking to some Republican operatives about this very situation, and this may not be the time. But if you think about the fact we haven't had a Republican mayor in the city of St. Louis for the last maybe 70 years, if you move forward with a process that says the top two vote getters move ahead, right? I understand the idea that this is a redress, could be a redress for the last time, but you could ostensibly open up an opportunity for somebody who otherwise would not have been able to get into a general election, who might not be a lifelong Democrat, to get there. Maybe that's not this cycle, but I always say to people, be careful what you wish for, because I was talking to the operatives and they said, look, we may not have the Republican Party herself may not run a candidate this time. But let's say 4 years from now, you've got, you know, crime is at an all-time high, business is on the down. People may be looking for a pro-law enforcement, pro-business personality. And so within 4 years from now, you could open up an opportunity for such a candidate to emerge. Only time will tell. But no one would have been thinking about any Republican 4 years from now without this new process.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see who throws their hat into the ring. I know Lewis Reed has had his eye on that job for a while now. Obviously, Tashara Jones. Kara Spencer, I think, is another city alderwoman who's been eyeballing the mayor's race and is already filed.
Yes, and there's a young lady named Dana Kelly who was previously married to Bruce Franks, who became famous from being a protester who became state rep. I know she's interested. There is some small chatter about the stable in City Hall, Greg Daly, who's been there in City Hall for many, many years, and he was a candidate. People were speculating about him last time. And the question is, does he see an opening now in a runoff to get past some of the hype in the first phase and come back and be the, you know, safe choice in that round two?
Right.
So, and I suspect because of this new process, it'll hamper some people getting signatures, but it will open it up to some people, one or two people that we haven't even thought about.
Sounds like our friend Keith Antone is listening this morning, Rodney. He's texting me right now. because he's telling me that the vote, the signatures necessary is less than 12,500.
Okay, well, that's good. I apologize. I'll fact check myself on that.
That's what Keith's claiming anyway. So he's texting me right now, and he says Lewis is in, and we're going to see a growing number of people. It ought to be quite a race. Do you like or dislike this idea? Of the way they've changed
you know I'm not sure yet. I mean, I have never lived under it. I've only read about it in other cities. On its face, it seems like it's fair because you don't have a person winning by less than 1% and walking away with everything. But at the same time, you know, it seems like if you have – what I didn't like about the way this was worded was it's the top two vote-getters, and it seemed from what I read, no matter what. So here's my point. If in most of the races, the person that gets greater than 51%, there is no runoff. They move into the next phase, and that's sort of de facto they win, similar to what we had. This process, from the way I understood it, and someone can fact-check me, is the top two vote-getters no matter what. So if one candidate, if there's three or four, and one candidate gets 80% of the vote and everybody else splits the last 20, still the top two move into the next election cycle. To me, that seems like a stretch because the voters would have resoundedly said we want person A by greater than 51%, and if it's a higher number, like 80%. So I'm not so sure this process of taking the top two, no matter what, is the best utilization of the voting process if there is a clear winner. So there's a way I thought it could have been worded differently. And then there's another piece to this that is very intriguing. I've never lived under it either. Well, you don't just vote, Mark. And think about that. You don't just vote for your one person. You vote, I think, for your favorite three.
Okay.
That's the way I read it. Okay. So you get to vote one through three, and they get ranked. So some of this nouveau stuff is a little bit odd to me, but I've been in St. Louis my whole life voting, you know, one person and the winner take all. So we'll see how it plays out, and that's the thing about when you start adding new colorful elements to elections, especially local elections, you get new colorful elections.
Yep, that's a good point. It'll be interesting to see how this one shakes out, that's for sure. You know, Rodney, let me get your thoughts for a minute on what's going on nationally. This thing's dragged out now for 3 weeks. The president's still challenging things in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Michigan, clearly. It seems like things have kind of gone away. Maybe I'm wrong, but in Wisconsin, I'm not hearing of a pending legal action. A lot of the president's supporters, not a lot, a number of Republicans, including Chris Christie, came out this weekend and they're urging him more forcefully now to kind of call it. We've never seen, I mean, this is different than Gore versus Bush, right? 20 years ago.
There's no real analogy to Gore versus Bush. For two reasons. One, I don't think there's an analogy because this isn't one state, first of all. The accusations span of several. But secondly, I don't see a pathway to the Supreme Court. If you remember Gore v. Bush, there was a direct appeal to the Supreme Court after about this same time period, maybe even a little sooner, went straight to the court. This process is working through these lower courts that keep sort of either denying or amending or asking for more information. Here's where I think the finish line is, no matter what people whether you think it was stolen or not, here's where I think the finish line is. On December 14th, the Electoral College meets, and they're going to put the votes on the table. And I believe that after that day, when they meet, and all the, you know, now there may be one or two states to say they're not ready, but there'll be enough there, I think, for them to meet and have a ratification of what they can. I think at that point, if as it appears, the 270 is put on the table for Mr. Biden, then the president will have to make a decision about how he conducts himself, what he says and does from December the 15th through January 20th. So right. I think there is a defining moment. And until the 14th, until the Electoral College meets, I think the president and his team are going to continue to turn over every stone that they believe they are legally entitled to turn over.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out because I've wondered about that. If I remember correctly, it went to the Florida Supreme Court, and then they appealed it directly to the United States Supreme Court.
Correct. And the United States Supreme Court took it up right away. Didn't even let the lower court monkey around with it. Just said, this is the kind of thing we need to deal with right now.
Yeah.
And I don't see this Supreme Court reaching out for this, and I don't see any lower court giving them the cert status to get to it. So we'll see. I mean, I think the defining moment, I think if the 270 is put on the table for Mr. Biden on the 14th, the question becomes on the morning of the 15th, what do the president supporters and what do the Republican establishment, the McConnells and the Thunes and these guys, what do they say to the president on the morning of December 15th?
That's a good point. Rodney Boyd, my guest this morning. Rodney, before we run out of time, Friday afternoon, the attorneys representing the local restaurant association, Mary Elizabeth Coleman. I had her on the show Friday. They got turned down for their temporary restraining order. My understanding is they're going to appeal that. Have you looked at that suit at all? Do you have any thoughts on it?
I didn't look at it, but I did talk to people around it. And the as you said, what they asked for was an injunction to stop the order from going into effect as it relates to the restaurants. And so the court said, you haven't shown us enough of an urgency to give you an order to give us this order. Huh. Go get your evidence and come back. You'll have a full hearing. So that was, and for folks that don't know, there's a two-step process. If you think that someone's going to harm you, you need immediate redress. You go to court and you get the court to stop that action. That's a high bar. You got to show it. The court, the judge in that case said they didn't. You could appeal it, as I think you said they're going to do, or you could prepare for the formal injunction, which is usually, and I could be wrong about this, I haven't been in court in a long time, but you could get to your actual injunctive hearing. There's a full hearing on the injunction, and that's where you go in with your evidence and you show the irreparable harm.
Well, that makes sense, because she told me this is step one, so they're going to go back at it. I hope so. Rodney, I'm out of time, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Folks, thank you for supporting your local restaurants. It matters.
We will talk to you next week. Appreciate that. Rodney Boyd, host of Insider Talk.
Get more at 971talk.com.